But in the book of Numbers, the 13th chapter, beginning at the 25th verse, very familiar scripture. And it's the account of the 12 spies returning from scouting out the land of Canaan. And in Numbers 13:25 it says, "And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel and unto the wilderness of Paran and to Kadesh. And they brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and they showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came into the land whither thou sentest, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And the Amalekites dwell in the land in the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan." And our text comes from verse 30. It says, "And Caleb stilled the people before Moses. And he said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went before him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which had been searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land, though which we have gone to search it, is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that saw it, that we saw in it, are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which came of the giants, and were in our, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." Let us pray. Lord, I thank you for the privilege to be here in this pulpit this evening. And God, I know for a fact that the message you put on my heart is important to deliver here tonight. Lord, I pray that you'll just touch the hearts of this congregation, that, Lord, they might receive it as you've given it to me, and, Lord, I might repeat it as you would have it to be done. Lord, give us encouragement as we stand here at this gate, we pray. These things, Lord, we ask in your blessed name. Amen. And I want to take a simple thought from a very familiar scripture this evening. In the 30th verse, we hear the report of Caleb, one of the 12 spies, and he, along with Joshua, came back and said that they were able to take this land. And I want us to think about four simple words that he gave in verse 30. He said, "We are well able." We are well able, Brother Coulter. We are able. We are able to do the things that God has given us to do. Now, I want you to think about the situation, the setting here of this time. If we go back to the ninth chapter of the book of Numbers, we won't turn there. We see that the children of Israel have been about 2 years, a little more than 2 years, outside of Egypt. So they have went forward as God has seen them go, and he's put them on their way. And all the way they went, they've murmured, and they saw miracles, and they were going to turn back, and they praised God. And they were very unstable in the way that they went. And God had brought them under the leadership of Moses and with the pillar of fire and the cloud, and God had brought them miraculously to this place, and he was ready to give them the promises that he had made to their great, 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 great ancestors. For 400 years, God had been waiting to do something great for these people. And they come to the edge of the point where God is ready to take care of them, ready to bring them in, ready to usher them in. They send in 12 men, and 10 of them come back and say, "Whoa, we got problems. It's not going to be as easy as we thought it would be." And Brother Wayne, I'm sure that they looked at their own skill set and said, "Here we are. We've never been trained in warfare. We don't have weapons. We're people that God has called out, and we were brick masons, you know, that type thing." But they looked at what was ahead of them, and 10 of these men saw the world around them through their own eyes. But two of the men looked at it, and they saw it through God's promises. And I'm going to tell you this evening, as we head into 2019, we will look at the world around us either through the spiritual eyes that God gives us, or we'll look at it through the secular eyes in the world around us today. A few months ago, I heard a great message by Dr. Adrian Rogers, and it's amazing with the technology that we have now that if you want to hear good preaching from men that lived a long time ago, you can hear good preaching from men that lived a long time ago. And Dr. Rogers was talking about the calling of God in each believer's life to believe even things that we do not understand, and to have faith in things that we cannot explain. And these men, all 12 of them, came to the same place. They saw the same things. They walked away with two completely different sets of experiences. Our life view is going to be, our life view is going to be like that. Now, if we were to look in the 14th chapter of Numbers, we won't turn there for the sake of time, but God himself said that his servant Caleb had a different spirit. That was the word that he used. And I'm telling you today that one of the reasons that the born-again Christian believer cannot get along with most of the world around us today is a very positive thing. We're not walking with the same spirit this world has. If you think that you're going to be friends with everybody that is in your workforce and everybody that's in your neighborhood and what have you, and they're going to party and they're going to drink and they're going to use bad language and they're going to do this and do that, and they're going to look at you and they're going to say, oh, you're just great with us. My friend, you're wrong. The Bible says that there's always going to be a division between those that God has saved and called and filled with his Holy Spirit and those who will walk according to the world. I wish it wasn't so, but you can be a great influence, but I'm just telling you, you're not going to be a good friend to everybody that's in the world around us today. There is a different spirit. And Caleb had this different spirit, and Joshua had this different spirit, and when they looked at this land, they saw that God was able to deliver. Aren't we glad tonight that God is a God of promises? And everything that he promised in the Old Testament, he made happen. He promised Noah there would be a storm and that the world would be destroyed, and he gave him an ark. He promised Abraham that one day, even though he had no child and he was old, that his children, his grandchildren, would be like the sand of the sea, that it would just be the stars in the sky. And I'm glad that God keeps his promises. And Caleb looked at what God had been waiting for 400 years to deliver and said, I believe that God can give us this land, even though I don't understand how, even though I can't explain why, I believe we can go and take it. I want you to look at the report, though, of the men who had the secular view, the men who looked at the world around us today. And I want us to look in a verse here, in verse 28, and I want you to look at the three things that they identified that they used to spread discord and to discourage the people and to basically bring evil and a reproach upon this testimony of greatness that God had given. The Bible tells us that 10 of them came back. And look at the words they used in verse 28. They said, nevertheless. They talked about the goodness of the land, the fruit of the land. But nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. And the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. I want you to look at the three things that they called out in their life. And I want you to begin to think about how we apply that to our life if we're not looking at the Word of God and not walking in the Holy Spirit. The first thing they brought out in verse 28 is they said, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in that city. Strong people. I don't know why it is, but sometimes, you know, we forget that God is stronger than anybody we've ever met upon the face of this earth. And when we began to think about physical strength, and they were beginning to think about size, and they were beginning to think about stature and prominence, they placed their significance on what they could see instead of what they knew that God had done and could do for them. I want you to think about the 2 years, the 3 years, whatever that time was, between the time that Moses had shown up as the deliverer sent by God to redeem his people out of the bondage of Egypt and what they had faced when they came to look at these people. Sure, they may have been big. They may have all been muscular. They may have been strong. They may have had something that was specific in life, but God was greater. Brother Ralph, I want you to think about this. They had seen Moses come on the scene when they were in prison, when they were in chains in Egypt. He had talked to Pharaoh. Pharaoh had rejected them. They had seen God send a deliverer. They then saw God send the plagues. Plague after plague after plague until the taking of the firstborn of the children of Egypt. They saw God do all these things. They saw the miracle of the Passover. The blood that was upon the doorposts and the angel of death as it passed by and spared the children of Israel. They saw the parting of the Red Sea. Culture, they saw the fire, the cloud of fire that came down that kept the Egyptians from running them over again. Are you with me on this? They got out into the wilderness. They saw the quail that had come and had fed the people there for the substance for a month. They had even seen Miriam, when she mocked Moses, become a leper and become healed. All 12 of them had seen that culture, and they walked to the edge, and two of them looked at the world through God's eyes, and 10 of them said, they're strong. But folks, you're always going to run into strong people in life. You're going to run into people in life, unfortunately, who may be smarter than you are. There's a lot of people that are smarter than I am. That you're going to run into people in life who have a different position in life. You're going to run into people in life who are very quick with their wit, but they're no match for God. And when we look at witnessing, when we look at doing what God has done, has called us to do, we need to look at what He's already done in our life. We just finished 2018, and we were talking about the goodness that God has brought upon our lives. And Brother Ralph, I've heard your testimony about getting saved in Vacation Bible School years ago. And Anthony, I know what a great witness you've been, and I appreciate Anthony. And you know, he stands upon this platform, and he touches hundreds of souls, right? With the way that he's able to, that God has wired him up to be able to present things and make it interesting to people. And I think about my own life, how when I had no interest in the Word of God, and I was sinking deeper and deeper and deeper into sin, that God reached down. And through the preaching of an old-fashioned pastor and the caring of two grandmothers, God spoke to me and witnessed to me through their life, through His Word, and I got saved. Listen, folks, I don't deserve anything that God's ever given me. I truly don't. I've brought nothing to the table for Him, as it were. And when I look around at the world around us today, I see a lot of strong people. I see a lot of people who have a lot of things going that I will never have. I see a lot of people that may have things going that we aspire to have. But strong people aren't going to stop me from serving God. Amen. I'm going to go where He calls me to go. Yeah. And I'm going to be what He calls me to be. Yes, right. And Brother Wayne, when the world looks out at us and says, you can't, you'll still be going to the jail ministry. Amen. Pastor, you'll still be preaching in the pulpit. Culture, you'll still be a blessing to so many. We'll still run the vans for the children that want to come, right? The world says you can't, but Jesus says you can. He says we be well able to do the things that God has called us to do. Strong people, influential people, they're not going to stop you from doing what God has called you to do. The second thing that these doubters, these naysayers called out is they said, nevertheless, the people be strong. And the second thing they called out is they said, and the cities are walled. Now, that was a real problem to them, Pastor. They said they're great big cities and they got huge walls. You know, isn't it amazing that they were trying to figure this thing out? And by the way, I think a lot of times as a church, we spend a lot of time trying to figure out how things work. God's not going to show us how it works. He'll just see that it gets done a lot of times when we step forward in faith. And these same men who would look upon this wall, the wall of Jericho, the cities with walls that they saw, 40 years later, their ancestors would be back, and they would watch God basically snap his fingers, and at the sound of a trumpet, cause those walls to fall flat. It's not the walls that limit us. God can take care of the walls. It's the walls that we put in our own life saying that we won't serve Him. It's the barriers saying we won't go beyond because we don't have the faith to take that next step. Amen? But these men looked at that. They could not understand how it would happen. And yet the walls, they fell down flat. I want you to think about the miracles that the Lord Jesus Christ performed during His earthly ministry here. For 3.5 years, He walked among the people. There were thousands that were fed from a few little fishes and a couple of loaves of bread. Lazarus was raised from the dead. The Bible tells us that by His very voice, the storms were calmed. There were children that were healed. The lepers were made whole. The lame were raised by His simple words to strengthen their legs. What barrier is this, church, that God cannot break down? If we'll go into the wilderness and we'll go where He tells us to go, He will go before us and He will break down the barriers that we don't see. It wasn't too long after we had been with Still Creek Baptist Church in Bristol that they had a little food pantry, and Pastor, the church really never had any money. I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm just saying, you know, it was just like most little churches. It was just kind of month to month to month. And we'd come to a place where they did the food ministry, the food distribution once a month. And the way they did that is they would go out and they would take some church money, and then some things were donated through King Pharmaceutical at that point. And we put all that together and we gave it to people. It was almost time and the shelves were empty. I mean, you could clean them off, you know. They were perfectly empty. And we prayed about it. And we said, Lord, you know, it's your ministry. What would you have it to be done here? And it was one day I was at work. My phone rang and I picked it up and it was the church calling me. And there was a lady who had been at church that day, and we took turns cleaning the church, and she was there cleaning up. She said, Steve, you're not going to believe this. She said, there was a knock at the door, and I went to the door and answered the door. It was a lady I didn't know, and she said, are you part of the church? And she said, of course, yes. She said, I've got something for you. She said, my mother has just passed away. An inheritance was left to me. I want to do something in her honor. Here is $1,200. To put towards your food ministry. Hey, folks, if we'll do what God's called us to, He'll take care of the barriers. The walls will not be a problem. Lest we forget that He invented the earth and gravity responds to His voice. The men said there's a strong people there. The men said there's a walled city there. And then the third thing said, the third barrier that they had, the third reason for doubt is they said, we saw Anak there. We saw the giants there. We saw the scale of the people that are in this land. And I'm going to give you one to think about tonight. That I think in our own lives, if we're not careful, we let the scale of the people we're engaging with intimidate us. The Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter, it talks about the fact that when we battle, when we have warfare, we don't always war against flesh and blood. Sometimes we war against powers and principalities and wickedness in high places. Yeah. Folks, we've come to that place certainly in the world around us today. It's really a disgrace, the things that are promoted as being normal when they're not normal. And the things that are said to be, you know, acceptable when God said they were sin. Very simple, but very true. And we've come to the place where we've put emphasis on people that are rock stars and athletes and people with a great deal of wealth and income, or people that are in power, or people that have authority because they run corporations or whatever that thing is. They will not change the Word of God. And yet we look at the world around us today and we say there are giants here that keep us from doing the things that God would have us to do, from delivering His promises. But evil positions in high places do not change the authority of God. Amen? And we ought not to turn back when we see that. But these men, 10 of them, they came, they said, we can't go forward. There's strong people, there's walled cities, there are people there that are giants, and they're going to devour us like grasshoppers. But I love the story here of Caleb, who looked at him, and the Bible tells us that as he caused this uproar, that he quieted the people before Moses, which have really just been very amazing on its own. And he told the people of Israel, we have come to claim the promise that God has given us. And he began to speak to him. And he said, let us go up at once and possess it. Those are the words of faith. Let us go forward and do what God has called us to do. Why? For we are well able to overcome it. I want you to think about our lives. I appreciate what you said, Brother Kenny, but you are absolutely not a failure. God has called you to be a man that is an influence on so many young people. But if you're not careful, the devil will get in your head. And he'll tell you that you're not able, when the Word of God says you are able to overcome the circumstances of life. Amen? That we go forward in faith. We go forward upon the Word of God. We go forward upon His precious promises. And the same God that promised us that His Son would come to earth and die for our sins upon a cross, and that we could be forgiven of the things that were unforgivable of, really, is the same God that'll come to get His church one day, the same God that'll make provision for us, and the same God that will help us to do the things that He's called us to do. We will be well able. Our abilities are through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Amen. And yet we want to define, Brother Wayne, all as being this small, little, insignificant thing. When sometimes God has called us to do these great things that He's going to take and amplify if we'll just go forward for Him. I think about the ministry that each one of us has in our life, and I particularly appreciate Brother Kenny's statement this evening. What has God called us to be able to do? He's called us to be able to serve Him. He's called us to be faithful. Did you recognize that one of the greatest things that we can do as Christians is to be consistent in our walk? Pastor, you said this when we were talking about people that get saved. I've been there myself, which is you see someone get saved, and it's a wonderful young family, and every church would love to have them as a part of their congregation. Yes. But what concerns me sometimes is that people come and they do make a profession of faith, and they choose not to be faithful. They choose not to follow Christ. They choose to walk a different road. Their life is not changed as it should be. But I'm telling you this evening that we can be faithful, and God has called us to be just that, to be here when the church is in service, and to be consistent in our lifestyle and those that are around us. We'll never be perfect, but we can be a witness to the world that's around us. We absolutely can. And like I said earlier, one of the greatest witnesses I've ever had in my life were my two grandmothers. And even to this day, Pastor, my grandmother's 96 years old. She lies about her age, but I have her birth certificate. She is 96, but she's sharp. She actually has two birth certificates. They got two different years on them, but I know how old she is. But even to this day, when I go and see my grandmother, she talks about how much she loves God. And she's not able to walk now. She's in a wheelchair. They push her around. They take great care of her at the little home where she lives. But she talks about her love for Jesus. And she talks about how good God has been to us. And that little woman, for the almost 57 years of my life, that's all I ever remember of her, is her being faithful to God. When we saw her at Christmas, she said, "Steve, do you remember me taking you to this little church?" And, I was pretty small at that point in time. Usually there's something that goes like, well, we dressed you up as a sheep, something along that line, right? Because that's what grandmothers do. But she talks about the fact how she prayed for her children. Not one of them ended up being perfect. But man, the faithful witness that she was well able to deliver to our lives. I think about witness that we can be to others around us. Those people at work that maybe we encounter, our neighbors and what have you. What is it that prevents us from being the person that God would have us to be and to be an example to them? It's not beyond our ability to serve God and to invite people to church and to be a witness and to talk to people and work the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in a positive way into our relationships. Listen, church, there's a stack of these cards sitting here, and I appreciate every one of you that helped give out these C52 cards. You didn't do it for the pastor. You certainly didn't do it for me. You did it for Jesus. That somebody might take this and recognize that by the sincerity, by the interest, by the importance that you put upon giving this card to someone else, that they might take a moment and look at it. We can be faithful. We're well able to witness in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think about every time that we come here to church and this church is so blessed. We have a great pastor. We have a great music ministry. I appreciate Miss Tanita, and I don't know where you get the songs that you sing, but they're always a blessing. Sometimes I've never heard them before, but they're always just perfect, it seems like, Brother Ralph, and appreciate you with the choir, and what a blessing it is that we come together. Why? We are well able to worship and praise Him who's worthy. Amen? If we're not going to worship Him and praise Him here, then where are we going to get it done? And it's good to come together that God has called us and He's placed that desire and that spirit within us that we would recognize His goodness. Caleb did that. Joshua did that. And I think we ought to come together and do that. We ought to worship Him in spirit and truth who's truly worthy. And then I think about the aspect of being faithful and being able to raise our families and to nurture our families and to be an encouragement to those that are around us. Two sons and we got to spend some time with Cody yesterday. And Pastor, honest before the Lord, as I stand here with my hand upon His word, Cindy and I, our prayer was always for the boys the same thing, that we would be able to raise two godly young men. Two young men that had an interest, Coulter, in the things of God. My sons aren't perfect. They got my DNA. They didn't have a fighting chance. And you'll get that. Cindy's side, maybe a little bit more. But I thank God that God gives us a chance. Brother Ralph, look at Anthony right there on your right-hand side. What better blessing could there be in life than to see the influence that we've been on our children. Now, sure enough, they don't always walk after God. They don't, right? It becomes their choice. But the blessing of saying that we are able to do the things in their life, to be the person in front of them that God would want us to be. And Caleb was that witness. When Caleb had finished, and when the 10 men had turned away, and they kept being negative, and they kept throwing off on the things that God had done, God himself made a judgment here. And by the way, if you want to see how it works out, if you were to look in the 14th chapter, the 36th verse, we won't turn there, but it says these 10, they died by the plague. God took care of them. And the two, Joshua and Caleb, Coulter, they went on to a great reward. The Bible tells us that, in fact, that where all of this started, all of this interaction between Caleb and the land of Canaan, it started at Hebron. And in the book of Judges, the first chapter, the 20th verse, it says that God gave Hebron unto Caleb and to his family. There's a reward in being faithful. There's a reward, Brother James, in saying, I'm going to go forward. There's a great reward, Brother Mike, in saying that we are well able. God can get it done if we will just let him. If we'll just be the people that he would have us to be, he'll take care of the strong ones. He'll knock the walls flat. He'll deal with the barriers that are in our way. And he'll give us the courage and the strength that when we come to those giants, and today it's those people of great influence, those people of great authority, that we'll have just the right words to say through the Holy Spirit to be the witness that God would have us to be. Here we are standing at the beginning of 2019, and I wonder what challenges that God will put in our way this year. I truly hope, quite frankly, that Jesus will come and get us. I do, Brother Gary. I'm ready to go see him. He's not ready to come yet, but I'm ready to see him at his second coming. But the fact of the matter is, he may not come. And please don't take this in the wrong way. Please don't. But we've become a very divided nation. And every year that we go forward is one more. I'm glad that we didn't have more trouble than we had. If you think about those words, we're probably going to see more trouble as the time grows clearer and clearer and nearer and nearer and nearing for the coming of Christ to take his church home and to let this world become what it wants to be. About 3.5 years, then another 3.5 years, 7 years total, and then Christ comes back. And next time he's not coming back in a manger. Until that day, he's given us his promises. He's given us some things to do. He's given us some places to go. And I know sometimes, Brother Michael, we look at it and say, can we? And he says, we are well able. I thank the Lord for what he's done in my life, and I thank him for the privilege to serve him. There's nobody in this church building that is less worthy, I truly mean this, of what God has given to them than me. But I thank him for it. Brother Larry, one day I'll bow at the feet of Christ, and I'll shed a good tear upon his foot, and I'll thank him for what he did for me when I was so unworthy. And folks, I would tell you tonight that Caleb had it right. Joshua had it right. 10 of them had it absolutely wrong. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ tonight as your personal Savior, you need to get right with God. You need to have that joy, that peace, that eternal assurance in your life that if you were to lay down this body of flesh, you would go to be with the Lord Jesus forever in eternity. If you die without Christ, you enter into a devil's hell that was not prepared for you. Nobody wants to go there. Lazarus, when he was in the arms of Abraham, the rich man, said, if you would just send him back and tell my brothers about this, no one wants to go to this terrible place. But for those of us who do know God, he is going to send us to some places, Brother Wayne, where the people are strong and the cities are walled and there's giants in the land, and we're going to go to have to face them and challenge them. Would you pray with me this evening? Lord, I do thank you for the privilege to be here. Lord, I thank you for the message. And Lord, I just truly believe it was intended to be an encouragement for someone tonight, that we sometimes get knocked down, we get surrounded, Lord, outnumbered 6-1, saying that, yeah, you can't get this done. A lot of times it's the devil just beating us up, wanting us to quit, wanting us to lay down, wanting us to stop doing everything. But Jesus, you came that we would be winners. You came that we would be overcomers. You came that we would have joy, just like Paul did, Lord, even in the most difficult circumstances. When we're taking the beating and when we've been chained to the bar, Lord, it doesn't make any sense at all. But you've told us that we could have joy even in that moment. God, we be well able to overcome the circumstances of this life through salvation in Christ and through the Holy Spirit who leads and guides and directs. It just doesn't make sense. And the math doesn't add up here on earth. But God, we can be greater than the circumstances that you've placed us in the path of. I pray, Lord, tonight particularly, if there's one here tonight who doesn't know you as their personal Savior, maybe this is the greatest thing that they had on their heart, Lord, during the past few weeks. As they recognize the birth of Christ, they recognize, Lord, also that they do not have the personal relationship with Christ that they need. I pray, Lord, that you'll touch particularly that heart tonight. Lead us and guide us. Lord, help us to step up in 2019 and to do the things you've called us to do. We are not saved by works, but, Lord, you left us plenty to do until you come. Yeah. These things we ask in your blessed name. Amen.